The White House says that come May, it will let the three-year-old COVID-19 public health emergency expire. And what that means is the government will no longer fully pay for testing, treatment, and vaccines for people who don't have health insurance. It's a little complicated, as health insurance policy usually is, so we're going to try to make sense of this with Lindsay Wiley. She's the faculty director of the Health Law and Policy Program at UCLA. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
All right. So May 11th is D-Day. And what is going to happen on that day?
So it gets really complicated. And there may be, the changes may be subtle for most people. This announcement yesterday is about two of a handful of different federal declarations that are going to be allowed to expire or be terminated. Those two declarations primarily affect things like how we finance healthcare services. So the effects are going to vary depending on what kind of insurance coverage you have. And the biggest effects are going to be for people who don't have insurance and for the healthcare providers who serve them.
Okay, so people who have zero health insurance, what about people who are on Medi-Cal or Medicare?
So for the public insurance programs, the effects could have been really dire, except Congress stepped in to change the timeline for those effects. So initially, the sort of continuous enrollment process where states were required to keep people enrolled in Medicaid for the duration of the public health emergency without, you know, engaging in this redetermination process to determine whether they're still eligible on a year-to-year basis. That was initially tied to the expiration of the public health emergency. But Congress, in the big spending bill at the end of last year, extended those provisions through the end of 2024. They're going to start to be phased out in mid-2023 through the end of 2024. So that's no longer triggered by yesterday's announcement. That was already, you know, Congress stepped in and took that decision out of the administration's hands. But that is going to have big effects. So the Medicaid redetermination process is going to be restarted. And people who are covered by Medicaid, you know, also known as Medi-Cal, are going to need to be prepared for that redetermination process to launch again. There are various resources out there to help guide them through what to expect.
Okay. And what about people who are on Obamacare?
So the private health insurance plans that are offered on the exchanges that we think of as Obamacare are affected in some more modest ways. So it might make more sense to speak in terms of people with private insurance through various sources, whether it's through the exchanges or
through your work or whatever.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Those regulations are pretty harmonized at this point. So for people with private insurance, the effects are mostly going to be sort of returning to the baseline of how other kinds of healthcare services are covered by your insurance. So for example, you may remember that the administration announced that under the public health emergency declaration, insurance companies would be required to provide coverage for over-the-counter COVID tests, up to 8 per person per month. And you could, you know, either buy those yourself and seek reimbursement, or you could, you know, place an order directly through your insurance company and just have it covered with no out-of-pocket costs. That's something that will expire. You know, but any given insurance plan could make a choice to continue to cover those kinds of tests in some way or to some extent. The other change is with respect to vaccination, and it's a little more subtle for people with private insurance. So under the public health emergency declaration, the Biden administration required that regardless of where you got your vaccine, the insurance company would have to pay for it in its entirety. The default now returns to a pre-COVID emergency law under the Affordable Care Act, under the Obamacare law, that requires private insurance to cover vaccines, but doesn't require them to do that out of network. So those vaccines will still be covered with no out-of-pocket costs, but you will have to determine whether the place you're getting the vaccine is considered in-network with your insurance plan.
So, you know, now you can walk into any CVS or Rite Aid and get a vaccine, and it's free and it's easy. Will that change?
That's going to depend on what your source of insurance is. For those major pharmacy chains, most of them are in network for a lot of private health insurance plans. But for some private insurance plans and for some pharmacies, they may be out of network and it may not be covered.
Okay. And now for treatments, Paxlovid and the like, does that change?
Yeah, for treatments, there's less change, although availability of treatments could be different and development of new treatments could be different because of just the lack of Congress appropriating more funds to invest in development of treatments and availability. But in terms of insurance coverage, it's just, you know, staying with the baseline of how your out-of-pocket costs and in-network versus out-of-network considerations might come into play for any other kind of healthcare. So, you know, people will definitely have to navigate, you know, where they're getting care, what their out-of-pocket, what their co-payments or co-insurance mm-hmm. rates might be.
Okay, so moving away from vaccines and treatment, in general, telemedicine was expanded during the COVID-19 emergency. Is that going to change?
So that's going to depend on where you are and what kind of insurance coverage you have. For people with Medicare, which is federally administered, initially that flexibility for telemedicine was tied to the public health emergency declaration, but Congress stepped in and created a separate timeline for winding that down. And there's some expectation that Congress may ultimately adopt those flexibilities on a permanent basis, as they have done for certain kinds of care. For people on Medicaid, it's really going to vary. It can be tied to the state public health emergency declarations that may affect telehealth under a state-administered Medicaid program, right? Medi-Cal, Medicaid, those are governed state by state. And so some states have made, most states actually have made some of those telehealth flexibilities permanent. We kind of tried it out during the COVID pandemic. It was initially implemented as part of an emergency measure, but most states have now decided that those flexibilities should be permanent because it was so effective. For people with private insurance, it depends on your insurance company. They may decide to continue to impose some restrictions. It also depends on what state you're in, because one of the big issues with telehealth is thinking about licensure and whether you're receiving care from a provider who might not even be in the same state that you're in. So that's really governed by state law and more tied to state declarations than the federal one that expires on May 11th.
And just separately, this has nothing to do with the announcement the White House made, but what do you make of the FDA's shift in the vaccine strategy approach? You know, they want to adopt a similar approach to the flu vaccine, making it a yearly event, updating it annually to match whatever strain is circulating.
In terms of thinking about whether this is, you know, like the flu shot, there are some really important differences. The reason we get a new flu shot every year isn't because our immunity from last year's shot wanes. It's actually because different strains are circulating each year. Whereas with COVID, we're not, you know, really looking yet at new vaccines being developed each year. It's more an issue of waning immunity from the previous year's vaccine and thinking about a schedule for updating that. I think the analogy to flu shots is more in terms of what people understand in terms of, you know, yeah, I expect I need to go get a shot each year, than it is about the public health situation indicating a true seasonal pattern with COVID.
Lindsay Wiley, Faculty Director of the Health Law and Policy Program at UCLA. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Coming up, why California is not keeping tabs on all police shootings of an unarmed person. That's next on Press Play.